the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day, so come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you want to smile, don't you?
This
yeah,
is the About Last Night show. That's production value, baby.
Theme song. Did you have that from the beginning, or did somebody do that in the middle of your run?
Adam did that.
Yeah. That's you?
That's me singing. Wow,
That's Adam singing.
That's high school musical training in the works there.
Love it. Welcome to the About Last Night show. You're hearing the voices of myself, Brad Williams, my co-host, Adam Ray, and our guest today, Ari Shaffir.
Hey.
What's up, Ari?
Yeah. It's nice to be back here.
Yeah. Back from the old, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, the old Toad Hop days.
Oh, yeah.
And you had your podcast, Punch Drunk.
Yeah, but it's the same studio. Who cares what it was called? We're out of place.
Yeah. Ari has a new special out called, was it Passive Aggressive?
Passive Aggressive.
And it's on chill.com.
Chill.com, yeah. Very good.
Chill.com. So you go to chill.com. You can download it there. And see Ari. Ari, you're
just streaming it live on the drive over here.
Really? On your phone?
Yeah.
Watching while driving?
No, I was listening. I have one of those Bluetooth things.
Oh, okay.
So I was, it was playing the video, but I was listening to it.
Oh, that's cool.
What was the venue? It was awesome.
The Knitting Factory in Brooklyn.
Dude.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked about it.
What a dope spot. And that's it sounded and looked awesome. And I mean, how many does it hold?
A few hundred. My theory was like, I don't like those Comedy Central specials. Look so giant and glossy.
Oh,
I think those don't look good, and they don't really represent normal stand-up.
No.
Yeah.
For Dane Cook, it does, you know?
Right. Yeah. If you're normally doing stand-up in a large theater or stadium, okay. But there's something about stand-up when it's in a club. It's just more intimate.
Small.
It's darker. It's better.
You came up in comedy clubs, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're saying you theaters, you're not a big fan of, obviously. That
I'll do them, especially when I open for Rogan and stuff. Yeah. And it's nice as a lark, but no, it's not. I like the intimacy. I like people on you.
People know Ari from, he opens for Joe Rogan. He had you did The Amazing Racist, which I loved.
That was
awesome.
I think that might have been the first thing I ever saw of you. And a friend of mine, it was like when I really made a commitment to be like, all right, I'm going to start doing stand-up a lot.
Yeah.
And then you start to just learn about the people that are in the world and who are doing it. And somebody was like, dude, this guy, Shaffir, you got to see this. It might have been Sandy Danto. And he showed me this. Sorry. And I was like, I just fucked it. It was the one where you picked up all the illegal... All the Mexicans outside of Home Depot, right?
Yeah, and then... I drove into an INS building.
Holy shit.
I said, I need you to fix my deck.
Yo. How many rednecks?
On their eyes.
Yeah, how many rednecks watched that and went, I've been telling you, that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
There was a white power website that picked it up.
Oh, get out.
And the headline.
There's always those weird sites that make your video go viral. Like Tumblr makes it, but like a white fucking.
Yeah, they liked it. It was already sort of going, but they were like, it was whiterevolution.com.
Jesus.
Could have been .org, but white revolution was there.
The spokesperson.
Yeah, the headline was Jew Boys Got the Right Idea.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Your mom must have been so proud.
I saw that. I was like, wow.
Was that the talk of the next Passover Seder? Did you hear our little Jew boy?
And, the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
What is
had
that?
Me? It's this organization to I don't know. It's like Jewish education
to keep Jewish names sounding really Jewy.
And it's sort of like a what's it called?
Simon Wiesenthal.
Wiesenthal.
We all want to stay here. They had me as an example of racism online.
Really?
Yeah.
So in a clinical way.
Yeah.
Like this is
what's showing you the bad possible new directions that can go.
Wow.
Do they not realize that it's jokes?
No, they didn't realize.
That's a comedian?
No, they didn't realize.
They thought you're actually just this angry Jew that wants to deport all Mexicans?
The funny thing is that the comments sometimes, that's why I'm like anesthetized the comments now, because I got them so early with all that.
Right.
But,
the comments you get from a video like that, I can't imagine. Anything like your stand-up is really.
But it was always like, doesn't he realize that he looks Jewy? And he can't be in the Ku Klux Klan or whatever. And I'm like, yes, I do.
Doesn't By the way, Jewy, a flavor of a granola bar that was rejected from Quaker Oats.
It's also what they used to describe Snickers bars in the first run of commercials. They were like, it's chocolatey nougat, Jewy. And they were like, okay, you know what? Maybe don't say that.
Maybe go to Chewy.
Let me ask you this, just speaking as another fellow Jew, do you get offended when. So I've heard some people say that, like, first of all, just people that say Jew, it's like has a derogatory type of connotation to it.
Keep
but like,
that.
It never really, like, when someone's like, that guy's a Jew, I'm like, yeah, I am. But I think it's maybe the way people
say
the J.
It.
If you're like, he's a Jew, I'm like, well, don't speed it up a little bit, man.
You could do that with
dragging it out.
With like, it's like, oh, my friend Jesse, he's black. Or you could go, Jesse, he's black.
Yeah.
Why are you being so
now I'm
black?
Curious.
Yeah. Just you emphasize like the first syllable.
And even Jewy.
Black.
Even Jewy sounds like kinder to me. Like if somebody was like, hey man, you're pretty Jewy, I'd be like, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I don't see it as derogatory at all.
No.
It's not like the N bomb where if other people besides black say it,
Right.
But if you say it in a nice way. No, I don't care about Jew.
Do you get people? I get this after if I mention any sort of Jewish stuff in my act, people come up and go, "Hey, man, the old Jew stuff was great. I'm a Jew too." Or, "Dude, one of my best friends is Jewish. Man, that shit was hilarious."
Yeah,
I'm like,
"They'll
cool.
say I'm a member of the tribe," and I'm like, "Dude, people don't talk that way anymore."
I'm a member of the tribe.
Fucking 50-year-old slang.
Yeah, a member
Stop
of the tribe.
It.
Yeah, and yeah, same thing. Same thing when I get off stage, people go, "Yeah, I went to school with a dwarf."
Okay, it's
so
never
I knew exactly what you were talking about up there. Yeah, no.
Did
I'm
you really?
Sure,
did
I'm
you
sure
think
you
about
did.
Everything I talked about in my act about riding airplanes and the difficulty of dangling my legs? Do you think about that?
Exactly. Ari
did
and
anybody
I.
Anybody say I used to be a midget too?
That's hilarious. Sorry. I was, and I was cured. Oh, they can actually do that, by the way.
What?
No, they cannot.
Cure dwarfism? Yeah,
well, it's all right. This is what they do. You can have a surgery to lengthen your limbs.
And, all your limbs.
Yeah, like
Inspector Gadget.
Kinda. go Gadget anti dwarf.
He was a dwarf, wasn't he?
I guess so. It's the most painful thing I've ever seen. Where they put like braces on your arms and on your legs. They break your bone every day. You turn a little knob that separates your bone like a millimeter, and then your bone grows in
To try to match up with it.
Yeah.
Oh, what? And then you separate a little more and it tries to catch up again and make more bone.
Yeah. Whoa. And I've, like, people have written me going, hey, so you think you're going to do it? And I'm like, no.
No.
No, because.
How long would it take to get bigger?
A year.
A year.
What? That's it?
That's not
I mean,
so
I know
long.
Nothing about it, but
that's not so long.
It's not so long.
A year and you get like 8 to 9 inches.
What?
8 to 9 inches. That's a lot. How tall are you?
4'4".
Yo, Brad, I think after
that
your
kicks
first...
you into 5 feet.
Yo, it's just like what Louis and Bill Burr do with their hours, right? They throw out a new hour each year, so you do a new act. Add on 8 inches. Have a whole new act as 8 inches taller.
How crazy
throw that
would
out,
that be?
8 inches taller.
Is if I come back in a year going, you know all that midget shit I was doing? Nope.
No, fuck that. Come back in 2 years at 5'9". Do all that stuff and see if it can play.
That's the true sign of a comic.
And I'll see how funny it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if it'll work without you.
Let me tell you about being short. What, you're 5'9", asshole?
No, you're middle of people. You're of average height. Wait, do you have the same size abdomen?
I do.
That would stay the same?
Yeah.
Just your arms and legs would grow bigger.
Just arms and legs.
Whoa.
So I've seen the dwarves that have the surgery. They look like
female bodybuilders.
Dwarves that were in a stretching machine like medieval, because you keep like the same head and the same like dwarf head features, and then like you just have really lanky.
You would look like one
arms.
Of those old Gumby figurines. Remember those?
Oh shit! Yeah. Absolutely. It's really weird, and people are like, oh, but you know, because then I'll. But you don't look any better, and just be a midget, in my opinion. Just be that.
Yeah, God,
just embrace that.
God put you out here for a reason.
Yeah.
I bet you'd be really good in a joust, though.
Oh, God.
With a little tiny abdomen and really long limbs.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be so hard to fucking get.
Well, sign me up then.
Yeah.
Sign me up. That's pretty much the benefit of everything.
It's like the legend of that. Remember the midget baseball player who took, like, he could only get walks because no one knew how to. It was in, like, Strange But True Sports Stories.
Yes, Eddie Goodell.
Was that his name?
Yes. Wow. Oh, we all know. we are raised with the stories of Eddie Cadell.
He's your Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, exactly.
He's your Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, exactly. Jews know Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
We know Eddie Cadell.
It's true. Are there any Jewish basketball players? I'm always curious about this.
Like, I think there are.
You never...
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there are. I want to look it up now.
Yeah, it's, right?
They're black Jews.
Perfect.
Black, yeah. That'd be amazing. And if you had a Jewish last name too, like Eddie
Shinywitz.
3 points by Eddie.
3 points by Simowitz.
Rosenblum.
Perfect. Now Ari. Ari is joining me on stage, and Bill Burr and Jay Moore and Doug Benson and Rob Delaney this Saturday at K-Rock's April Foolishness show. Ari, this is your first time doing it?
Yeah. It should
Hell
be great.
Yeah, dude, what a lineup.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a fucking unbelievable lineup. Yeah. I'm going to be there just jerking off in the corner.
Yeah.
Are you coming?
Yeah. I'm getting Adam a ticket, so he's going to be backstage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And, like,
my agent snatched up all my tickets immediately.
Oh,
like,
really?
I was like, do I have to get... You're like, you did. You don't anymore. I was like,
what?
Jesus.
What, is he bringing people?
I guess so, yeah.
All right. But when I did it last year, it was the first time. I thought that I'd go out and, like, watch all the comics, but you just end up getting shit-faced backstage.
Really?
With everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem with those, where it's like, oh, I should watch. I did a New Year's show with Jeselnik and Schumer and Arch Barker.
That's awesome. Shit.
Yeah, and Benson, too. And I wanted to go out and watch, but it's like, oh, we're all cool people in the back drinking.
Well, and when people don't realize, when you're a road comic and working a lot, these are your friends that you never see.
You're not hanging out, right? So that's your...
And Doug had shit tons of weed. Also, it was San Francisco, so everyone did. Oh, and there was an open bar, so Brendan was just fucking... Walsh was there, too, and we were just going for it. Like, there's no reason to stop going for it. We're all on early.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you're on, I think, second.
Yeah.
After Rob Delaney.
Oh, Delaney's up first? Okay, nice.
Yeah, and then I go on after you. So we're
nice.
We're on early. Then we can get shit faced and party afterward.
What's your tolerance? I gotta get you.
He's
on my
two beer
Brad. Can we still do a podcast with just talking about midget stuff?
Sure, I don't care.
But like, okay.
Yeah, you know what? You would think you can exhaust it, but like every time, we don't ever, maybe a few podcasts where we got like dwarf heavy, but that's because something happened where he got hit by a bus or we saw a car accident, you know, a PG Cruiser flip in front of us on the freeway driving from San Fran back to LA.
Yeah.
And we get out running towards, you know, the car and the woman sees me and a dwarf running towards her.
Upside down.
Yeah, I'm totally hallucinating right now. Yeah. This is my guardian angel.
But like, we, you know, and like the last April Foolishness show, when you said Stamos, who was there with Saget, is like actually afraid of dwarves.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like legitimately.
Stamos was afraid, and of course Saget like gets me and says, "Hey Brad, come here." Like, and we just totally like blindsided John Stamos, and we turned around and saw me. He tried to do the whole, "Hey, I'm totally comfortable, but not."
But he was not at all. He was like sweating and like.
I have a picture with me and Saget and Stamos, and the look on Stamos's face is, "Get this motherfucker away from me."
Saget is shockingly cool.
Yeah,
you would think he'd be so like, I don't know, what's the word?
Jewy,
swarmy?
No,
not Jewy or swarmy. Just kind of like what are those people that conservative? Too conservative or just boring?
What gives you that idea? Just his full
maybe
house
the show,
demeanor?
The two shows he did.
Yeah,
and he looks like a clean cut guy,
right? And then he just starts going off on the dirtiest jokes ever.
He's been off stage. He's just a normal fuck around dude.
Yeah,
Stamos too, I guess.
You know the way he first him and Jeff Ross were on a Comedy Jew show I was hosting like 3 years ago, and I'm bringing. I go, "Hey, which one of you guys wants to go up next?" And Bob goes, "Hey, man." He goes, "I'm Bob." He goes, "What's your name?" I go, "Adam." He goes, "What's your last name?" I go, "Ray." He goes, "Ray, rhymes with gay. You ever suck dick?" I go, "No, not yet, man." And then he goes, "So which one of you guys wants to go first?" He goes, "Well, here's what's going to happen, Adam." He goes, "You're going to bring up Jeff. Then I'm going to come up on stage halfway through a set, take a shit on the stage. And Jeff is going to eat my shit, then start pissing and shitting out my shit. And then you'll come up on stage, clean it up, and then we're going to do a little dance. And then we'll just kind of go from there." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. So is that like, wait, like 5-10 minutes into the shit?" And he goes, "I'll give you like a little like, hey, the shit's coming, look." That's the only exchange I've ever had with Bob Saget.
That's a great Bob Saget story.
Other than
he like busted into an Aristocrats joke right there for you.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I remember when I started here, when I was doing open mic stuff, I saw him show up like Hardwick or something. He was friends with Hardwick, but he showed up at the open mic at Westwood Bruco, the Tuesday open mic. Yeah.
Really?
And, and he had some driver in like a town car. I was like, he gets to drive in town? People are like, he's on two currently syndicated shows.
Yeah.
At the same time,
he's got money.
It's like that's so. Like, why would you ever drive?
Isn't it kind of crazy how rare and kind of impossible that is to be on yet one hit show, but like to have two?
I feel like the world just kind of like Bob Saget is not working enough because he's the narrator in How I Met Your Mother, which makes no sense because it's just the guy getting old. Like when the normal guy is 30, he wouldn't age 20 years and then suddenly sound like Bob Saget.
Yeah,
right.
He would still sound like himself. But they're like, you know, Bob Saget needs more money. So.
I can't believe he's on that. That's right.
Yeah, but he's got a good voice. For it. Yeah, there's a hand.
He's got a good voice for it. What are you talking about? I can do the same thing.
You're right.
Oh, when I met your when I met your mother. All right. When I met your mother was love at first sight. You run it.
Who are the actors with multiple? Who like let's see, like Tony Danza, Kelsey Grammer, Ted Danson, people who have like two or three shows.
Soon to be maybe Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, maybe? She was on two.
Well, because she had Two Broke Girls and
she Whitney. Wasn't on that though.
Right,
but she did have that other show, the talk show.
The talk show, yeah.
Man, Whitney is doing it.
Saget was on Entourage a bunch too.
Oh really?
Motherfuck, Bob Saget's killing it.
He plays Bob Saget a lot and stuff.
Well, because the character of Bob Saget is kind of like the character of Tony Danza, where the character itself is enough.
Totally,
it just works. Did anyone try to fool you guys on April Fool's Day?
Yeah, I got caught all the time.
Oh. Did you really?
Yeah, it's like as I go
by comedians,
by comedians, by companies. Online, as I get longer and longer into my career, like I stop paying attention to days of the week or dates.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I don't know what holidays.
Day. Yeah, I'll just be
like,
working.
Yeah, why is the Comedy Store packed on a Sunday? And I'm like, oh, Columbus Day. It's like, okay. Like I never would have heard that people have off the next day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I stopped knowing it was April 4th, and I was just saying all the stuff, and I was like, oh wow.
So and so is pregnant. So and so is getting married. So-and-so, like, so and so broke up.
This company said they made a kettlebell in the shape of Joey Diaz's head. And I was like, that is awesome.
Some of the April Fools aren't like actual, I mean, like things that would, I feel like it's supposed to be something that really like pisses you off or like somebody's like, you know, oh, I got cancer. Just kidding. April Fool. Oh, fuck, you got me. Yeah, I really thought you did.
No, yeah. Saying to someone, hey, I just found out I got cancer. That's not an April Fool's joke. That's not. You're just being a dick.
Yeah, you would have to go to people and say, hey. I don't have cancer. And then be like, what? What are you talking about?
Hey, bro. April Fools.
I have inoperable cancer.
Whoa. Oh, Jesus.
Now, have you guys ever pulled April Fool's pranks on people? Like, really good ones?
Yeah.
What was yours?
What'd you do?
In the fourth grade, I put a whoopee cushion on my teacher's chair.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. Then I put an ice cube with a fly in it in his coffee.
Same guy.
And that's the first time I think I've heard a teacher say what the fuck as he was drinking his coffee and the ice cube like went into his mouth. He was a big guy too named Mr. Burger, and everyone's fucking laughing, and he knew it was me because I was just like always trying to make people laugh and just not even paying attention. And so he was like, what the fuck? And he caught himself halfway through the fuck, and then he was just like, Ray! And I was like, huh?
He knew.
Yeah, that fucking fat
he
head.
He drank the
around.
Fly?
Well, like, it went into his mouth. And he was like, first of all, why is there ice in my coffee?
And you being in fourth grade were like, he'll drink the ice in his
January
hot beverage. Best one I ever had, it was freshman year at USC, and I was living in the dorms, and the dorms have all the rooms, obviously, like, right next to each other. Yeah. So I made up a bunch of fake eviction notices on my computer.
Well, that's good.
And I put them on the doors, and I did it to people that I knew smoked a lot of weed. So I said that they did a random room check at some point, and they found weed, so they got to call the housing department and, like, get a new place to live and shit like that. And then I made the number on the thing, like, call the USC housing department at this number, and that was the number to my dorm room.
Perfect.
So they
call. You have to be that guy.
And no one ever calls my dorm except for my mom. So I just answered it, USC Housing Services. And yeah.
And they're no doubt baked too, so they're freaking out.
Please. My parents are going to kill me.
I'll never smoke weed again.
Yeah. I got, one dude took it too far and then, like, got mad at me and, like, started, like, ran down to my dorm and, like, threatened to kill me. But whatever.
When did you start smoking pot? Because I started pretty much in college.
Oh. Oh, today, right before I came to the studio. But,
you smoke every day?
I mean, most days. There's some, no, I smoke every day. Yeah, there's occasionally a day that goes by that I don't smoke. But I'll note it in my head. I'm like, huh,
And you always seem very like to me. You never seem like even because like we're on a in the comedy Sean Kemp's kids, the comedy basketball. Yeah, what happened the other night?
What happened?
Well, so first game of the season was last.
Wait, what's Sean Kemp's kids?
It's our basketball team in the comedy basketball league.
Oh, yeah?
Ari Shaffir and I, Jeff Dye, Brian Moo, Jeff Keith, Paul Morrissey.
There's three Jews Santino. On your team.
Yeah, Andrew Santino. We have a Johnny Laquasto. We have a great team.
We always look heavy. Team. Fine, Jeff Keith leading the way.
Yeah, shit.
That's awesome, man.
But we always get far, we play well, and then we just in these playoffs.
Yeah, but we lost the first game of the season. We're up 29-17 in the Comedy Store.
Oh, so
doing well.
So you guys play the Comedy Store, you guys play other comedians.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like the improv as a team, and then now
they folded.
Oh, did they really?
They couldn't get their league fees up together.
Oh, I would think the Comedy Union would have the best team.
Probably.
Well, tell our viewers who the Comedy Union is.
Comedy Union is the urban club in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Black. The black club. The black club.
Yeah, well, maybe fucking take it easy with that first letter there. Don't hit it so hard.
Yeah, for a while, the Comedy Store was like the first team to have a team in a rec league, and then we added a second team. And then we said, let's just get a whole league. So the Comedy Store is like the grandfathered team. And we had a rule. I started on that team. We had a rule for a while of no blacks on the team.
Did you really?
We let Jerry Minor be a sub once in a while. But then other people would ask, like, oh, sorry. I'd love to have you, but we have a no blacks rule.
But you'll come to games, I'm assuming every game high, yeah?
Yeah, I get high in the car before.
And you play well.
Fundamentally sound.
Dude, I was just going to say, the few times I've played really stoned, yeah. I think I can do moves that I don't think twice about not trying.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, I'm fucking, because you just feel so free. I'm like, I for sure can fucking, you know, do this turnaround jumper over three guys or, like, do a jump step. Like, I see myself doing a Dr. J move, like, from half court. I mean, it's just.
Really?
You got a sweet, like, baby jump hook.
I got a sort of mini jump hook with, like, I always manage to fall afterwards.
Yeah.
So, it, like, if there's a possible foul called, it'll get called.
And you have great footwork, great pivots. There are times, though, when the stoniness does come out when you'll take, like, nine steps before you shoot a layup. And it's like, okay, he's high as fuck.
They blow the whistle. I'm like, I'm not even going to shoot it. Here you go, ref.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have called that 2 steps ago.
Has anyone had an injury on the court that was like that guy on Louisville?
Oh,
nothing like that.
Jesus.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, why would you do that to yourself?
I had it, right?
Oh, God, I don't want to see
it. The reaction from... You haven't seen it?
No.
Yeah, we got to show Brad right
I've never
here.
Seen... I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Joe Theismann leg break. I've never seen the Joe Theismann leg break
Have you seen Two Girls,
ever.
One Cup?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. Well, how can you watch Two Girls, One Cup, but you can't watch a leg break out of a...
I don't know, because I think Two Girls, One Cup is obviously something that would never happen to me.
That's
but
not true. But the breaking leg of somebody who's 6'5"?
Yeah,
that could happen.
Could happen if a giant black man lands on me.
Man.
Then my leg could shatter.
The reaction from his team is really what like set it off for me. And apparently you hear his reaction. He's like, I didn't think it was that bad. Then Patino's like, you're cool. And then his eyes just fucking lit up. And he's like, I saw Patino's eyes. And I was like, oh, this ain't good.
Well, they all moved away. Yeah. Like they were like afraid of getting it.
Yeah, it was like they were watching a Saw movie in like the Magic Johnson theaters. They were all just like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Like they all just fucking. Yeah. They all like lean back.
Oh my god, that's good. But that's what happens sometimes when you get hurt because you don't realize that you're hurt.
No.
Yeah.
I broke my ankle.
Yeah, he seemed totally fine.
Yeah. Do you know I broke my ankle playing in the? Did you ever play in that outdoor league in Beverly Hills at that elementary school?
I have played.
Yeah,
that
this was like Ben Glebe.
3 years ago, you did this, right?
Yeah, 3 years ago now.
3 years ago. Yeah.
And Sam Tripoli is trying to give me an outlet pass, and I'm running down the court, and I'm running to my left.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
You seen the picture?
Yes. Oh my God.
That bone is sticking out.
That was on TV.
And he said he didn't
for a couple replays, and they say, "Hey guys, no more replays."
Yeah.
They came.
Yet they'll show numerous pieces of footage of the Rice coach throwing basketballs at the kids' heads.
Nice. Do they show that a lot?
I personally think any clips of the Honey Boo Boo family is a little more offensive than that. But
sort of.
Put it away, Ari. What are you doing yourself?
You like seeing that?
Oh, because you can really see it through the skin, like it.
Yeah, by the way, that just reminded me, speaking of Two Girls, One Cup, of I think Ari and I's first interaction.
What was it? Watching Two Girls, One Cup?
Yeah, we watched it together and became instant friends. No. You sent me a message through YouTube when that was a way to actually contact people. And you said, because I remember I went up to you, this is when I was just starting, but I would see you at the Comedy Store, and I was doing Sundays and Mondays, and you sent me a message being like, hey, that Kermit the Frog, because I did the Kermit reacts to Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Kermit the Frog watches it and then jerks off to it, and it was like one of the big reaction ones with Joe's and whatever. Got like, you know, 8 million hits or whatever. And you were like, that Kermit video was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and that's all you put?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, good job. And so I went up to you at the Comedy Store, and I was like, hey, because I knew who you were, I fucking was a big
Oh, that was
fan.
You who did the Kermit the Frog reaction video?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So then I went up to you, and I was like, hey, man,
yeah,
I
like that one.
I go, you sent me a message about the Kermit thing. I go, thanks, man. I go, yeah, and I started talking, like, about it, and it was just like a comic. You know, like any young comic that just comes up, and you're like, yeah, cool, man, no, it's funny. You're like, I'm about to go up. I go, oh, cool, man. And I just didn't get socially that, like, hey, man, stop talking to the guy who's about to go up on stage. Because the fact that you were engaging with me at a comic that I didn't know at the store was making me go, and I'm like, oh, you're getting ready to go up? I go, yeah, are you going to talk about? And then you just kind of go, hey, man, I got to go. And then you start walking up, and I go, oh, cool, man.
Talk later after the show.
It's amazing that gives you a social out. You don't have to, no matter who you're talking to, like, I gotta go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're bringing me up. It's like, forget this conversation. I'm leaving now.
Shows, too, right? I mean, there's the whole, like, I got a show, getting out of plans and stuff. I mean, it's really.
Yeah. I did that today to somebody.
I got a podcast.
I forgot I got a show. I can't hang out tonight.
It's
sorry.
The best.
It's the best out ever. It's cause it's just because they can't argue with it. Like, we have, like, if you're a male comic, that's your version of when a woman calls you up and says, hey, I can't go out to dinner tonight. I'm on my period. Because as a guy, you're like, all right.
Yeah, what are you going to
cool.
be like, prove it.
Oh, yeah.
Prove it. Send girls, me a picture right now.
I didn't think girls used to lie about that, but girls lie a lot about that.
Yeah, because they know, like, it's their out.
I'll just tell you by percentages. The percentage of first dates that are on their period is shockingly high.
90%.
Compared to other. Yeah, because we just chose that date at random.
Yeah.
Right. It just happens to be. Now, because it used to be girls would just like, okay, I don't want to sleep with a guy on the first date, so I just won't shave my legs. Okay, I won't shave my legs, then I will stop myself.
That's not being anything to hold us back.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's not ideal, but
They ever thought the guy would be like, well, there's tits and a vagina, but what are these fuzzy legs? No, who gives a shit?
I have a calf fetish. This is not working out.
My first girlfriend was a feminist. She didn't shave her legs, so I'm like, that's cool. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I'd rather have nice, smooth legs, but that's like, they ain't gonna be a deal breaker.
But also, how hairy? Like,
she just let him go.
Wow. Jesus. So, like, was it like Adam
hairy
Ray's
as
legs?
They would get. No, nobody's as hairy as Adam Ray's legs. So, what were you saying?
Nothing. I just wanted to fucking. I was hoping some sort of. I mean, that was like the magic, like, you know, the sentence of the day, and a big fucking balloon and streamers would go off. Nobody's as hairy as Adam Ray's legs. An alarm goes off.
That's the phrase that pays.
Yeah, that's a phrase that pays.
Woo!
Jesus.
You win! This girlfriend of yours, she didn't shave anything?
Oh, no. Her pits would be like sometimes.
Oh, God. I feel like it's pits or legs. You can't do both, man.
The pits would be weird because when her arms were down, it's fine. And she had her arms were fine, normal. The legs were hairy. But the pits I didn't see. But then when she picked them up,
dude, there's something
that
about the arm going up. It's almost, I think, because the legs you can see.
At all times. The
reveal of the armpit hair when you don't know it's there. That's a fucking bad magician trick. And you're just like, I want my money back. And
you know, we've been completely socialized to think that way. There's nothing natural about that, about us being grossed out by armpit hair.
Oh, sure.
Every girl grows it naturally.
And yeah.
We're like, shave that shit.
We're like, ugh.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, no, it's the same way with women in uncut cocks. They're like that.
What?
They're like, ew, not circumcised. Like, what? Ew, that's how they come.
Yeah, that's
what the regular
that's
how way. They come.
That's the original package.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it goes. So, you know, you're right though. It is the exact same thing where we've been, and it's weird how that sort of thing kind of changes because it used to be back in the day, like, big girls were considered way sexier.
Yeah.
Because it was like a health thing.
Yeah, and then they got magazines, and that shit went out. Sorry, big girls. Your day is done.
Wait, we're like, wait, that's an option?
Yeah. You better shape up.
Size 2s are available?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yo, you had a joke in the special about, can I reference it? About smelly fat.
Right, smelly fat.
About the type of fat where, like, you were saying that people that, like, well, the girl, you had one arm.
Oh, yeah.
And how she
stunk. Oh, yeah.
She stunk so bad. It was like, and you're like, I think it was just like, you get so fat at one point where you can't, like, wash.
Fat people smell.
Under.
Yeah, you can't get underneath certain places.
And then you're like in the one arm, and you're like in the one arm thing didn't help.
I think that's true though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't you can't get to that point.
Well, it's like you gotta go under and up. It's like you could reach the sodas in a soda machine if you could go straight through the glass, but you can't go up and under because then your arms aren't long enough that way.
That's a tough move.
That's how they get you.
Ari, I'm curious. When did you really start doing stand-up?
I started after college.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated. I didn't want to get a job. I did it once in college, a couple mm-hmm. years before I graduated, just to try. I did some open mic in Northern Virginia. And
is that where you're from?
Maryland, but you know, same Maryland, region, okay. I guess. And I didn't tell any of my friends. I told them I was doing it, but I didn't tell them where I was going. Wore a three-piece suit.
Yeah, wore the suit on stage.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know what you had
Well,
to do.
You know what? Good for you for not telling all the friends, because that's like the number, like one of the top mistakes that young like comics make is like their first or second time on stage.
Oh, yeah,
they tell everyone, like, oh, come on, support me, because, yeah, I want people in the audience to laugh. It's like, no, because you suck at this right now. Yeah.
That's why nothing is easier than a bringer show, because their standards are just dropped. Oh, like, okay, this is what we're going to expect. These guys who have done it twice ever. And then you get somebody who's done it at least five times, let alone 10 years or 5 years. And it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Have you ever poked your head in on some of those bringer shows at the store and seeing, like, the people, though, just going nuts for some of these people who are doing it, like, for the second time?
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
It's, I mean, you know, obviously you want the support. You need those shows on a certain level, but it's like it's
those people, it makes me feel nice and also gross at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
Like when I come into the store and they're all in the front patio at the end, you know, they come out from the belly part of the main room, they hang out in the front patio, and you walk in to go to the original room and you just hear them go, I thought you were the best one. You're just like, ugh. God.
All right, all that.
At what point?
It creates such a false sense of security for the guy. Because, like, totally. Oh, so I'm really, really funny. Like, well, yeah, you're really, really funny when you have 90 of your friends in the room supporting
Oh, yeah.
You.
The worst thing to do is to follow the main bringer at a bringer show.
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as he's off, they're all talking
leave.
To him, giving
they
him, like,
leave.
High fives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carrying him off, talking about what just happened.
Carrying him off,
you can't get any attention.
Reciting his bits. You're just yelling at his friends for your set.
Yeah, just shut the fuck up. Get out of the room.
Yeah, we get it. Ken was great. Yeah. Oh, great bit about girlfriends.
Yeah.
Do you guys prefer to follow a guy that's just, like, crushed it or a guy that just kind of ate it? Because I've heard comics have a preference of either.
When I started, it was obviously always the guys who ate it.
Yeah.
It was easier.
Sure.
But then people started saying, like, no, you want somebody who's done real well to set the room for you. But I just don't – I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really likes that better.
No.
You want it a little warm, sure. But
You don't want crickets for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but if it's a long night, if you're like headlining, you definitely want them like warmed up if you're doing a long set. You want somebody at least doing 15, 20 minutes for you. But like, yeah, like a long shows when it's like 15 different people.
Yeah.
Somebody crushes in front of you. They're not looking at you. They're not paying attention to you.
Especially in those 15 minute increments. Right?
Yeah.
Have there been nights at the store? Because you've been a regular at the store now for how long? And going up in the OR.
Probably 9 years. I think September of 2003 or 4.
The original room is what I mean by that, which I guess is regarded as the most difficult room in the world. Would you agree with that?
It's one of them.
I don't like using words like the most.
Yeah,
right? It implies it's less or more deserving of having that.
Of course,
depending on what other room.
But has there been a set in your time there where? Because obviously a lot of
2003 September
great people pop in and just on the bill all the time.
Yeah,
just great people. But has there been somebody you followed? Maybe
early
on or now that we
Freddie Soto when he was still alive. Do you ever meet him?
Yeah, I did.
When he was
Yeah, I really just started like right before he passed, and I saw him perform a couple times. Amazing live.
He was a crusher. He was like, you know, the way you see Caparulo now. Just
really?
You know, he was that, but he was just like about to break. He was always getting deals like every other year then, and just like about to, but just crushed. And then they heard I was doing well, 3 years in, 2 years in. And so it was just late night one night at the Comedy Store. He was like, he wanted to go on and just did all his A material. I mean, Eleanor and Oshak and Jordy all talked about it. They're like, go bury Ari. And so he's like, okay. And he just buried me. I didn't know what to do or how to handle it.
So on purpose, like, he's like, I'm going to go on stage and make sure that Ari Shaffir has a bad set.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they were all like, Freddie, do this to him. It was like a joke. I mean, it came from a place of love. It was fine.
Okay.
But man, I think I was saying I could follow anybody. I think I was really being real vocal about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to bring them all. I could kill after anybody. And they're like, all right, we'll see.
What did you open with?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it was all.
He tried to forget everything about that set. And that's a cool part about this business is that it does have the ability to humble you
instantly.
Instantly. because they're like, no matter how much you talk and say that you're funny and oh, I crush every time, you do a couple of jokes that don't hit.
Yeah.
All right. There's your proof right there. And yeah. You can't get around it. I remember one time I was bragging to someone that I had like, oh yeah, I got a killer 30 minutes, and this is right when I had 15. That, and someone made me go on stage for 30 minutes, and it was made very obvious to me that it was like, oh wow, I do suck at this. Okay,
we used to not like guys when we worked at the door, the comedy store, in the sound booth.
Yeah,
and people are like, I'll fucking crush it up there. I've been funny since high school. You know, it's always black people. Black people. God, so much worse. Yeah,
it's, like that.
It really is.
But it was almost always black people. Like, okay, yeah, sure. 3 minutes, the light's over there. Don't, you know, 30 seconds once the light comes on, but keep going until it comes on. And we just wouldn't light them.
So
let them stew in it. I mean, so 8, 9, 10, and they're just like sweating and bombing.
That's the best when you see someone that like has just talked all that shit and just like they're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go on after Chappelle when he popped in right before me at the store, but he ended up doing, and he kept about to get off, and I was basically, it was going to be, you know, people after me had left, so it was just me, and then maybe one other person was there, like Benji or somebody.
Yeah.
And he kept getting ready to get off. And it was pretty packed, and he had done like an hour and a half. And people, and it was one of those ones where he was kind of like, you know, he had a couple great moments, but he's just sitting there talking for a while, so there wasn't a lot of big laughs. But people were still fucking engaged and all about it. And I'm sitting there being like, how the fuck, like, what am I gonna, like, what's the first thing I'm gonna say? What am I gonna do? And he kept about to get off, and then he'd be like, well, I gotta get out of here and wrap it up. And Jeff, and then he'd look over, and I'm like on the corner, and then it was emotional roller coaster because I was up and down like 20 times, like being like, okay, and then I'm gonna say this, and then he'd do something else, and maybe he'd reference something I was gonna say. So I was like, okay, I can't open with that now. And then
oh yeah, you're so worried about like, so how am I gonna do this?
And I'm like, what am I gonna say? I'm gonna be like, oh, give it, like, how am I gonna phrase giving it up for Chappelle in a way of, you know, am I going to be really like, God, that was amazing. He's my foot. You know, how much am I going to give attention to what just happened?
Yeah, because then you give away your power by saying, like, come on, guys, that was a big, that's a big star. Now, you can't.
Like, well, how do I follow that? Because the last thing you want to do is seem weak to them up there, right? Sure. Like, if you're like,
but you,
how do
I, you're weak.
Yes, you are.
You
can't let them see. He'd be about to get off, and look over, and Jeff Ross was there, and he'd be like, anyway, I got to get out of here. It was good to see you, Jeff. And he's like, he's like, he's doing New York, man. And then just fucking another 25 minutes of conversation.
Let me tell you about New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Griffin used to go on for like 2-3 hours sometimes and just hijack the room. And one day he did like an hour and 20 minutes. He was about to get off. And he's like, I think that's it. And then Jeff Ross in the back, I think David Taylor was going to go on. Jeff Ross in the back goes, I want to hear more about whatever craziness he was talking. I want to hear more about that thing. And then he just went on for another hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he started on that and then just kept going. And then after like 20 minutes of that, Jeff Ross looked over to David Taylor and was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought I was just making a joke. I didn't realize.
It's always the black comedians.
Now, with your storyteller show that you're going to do for Comedy Central Digital, obviously that came from the storyteller show you did at the Improv, right?
Yeah, this is not happening. It's what it's called.
I love it. How long have you been doing stand-up?
14 years in May.
All right. Now, you've probably accumulated enough stories of your own from all the travels and just fucking, I mean, traveling with Rogan, going to every city and just being at the store, being in L.A. But, like, do you feel like what propelled you wanting to do a show where you're interviewing comedians about?
Well, here, I'm not really interviewing them. But we just all do a story on the same subject.
Right.
So the first one we did, here's when it was.
But you're the moderator, more or less, yeah?
Yeah. Or I mean, I'll fuck around with them on stage and ask questions afterwards. But it's just let them do their story and then...
All following the same theme, more or less?
Okay. So the first one we did, I had just taken mushrooms somewhere, and I was talking
good
about
start.
You like mushrooms.
Yeah, I love mushrooms.
Like on a list of things that you love, where would boobs, mushrooms, and comedy and friends fall?
Comparison out of those four. Is a thief of joy. I don't like to compare.
All right.
I like them all.
Does great sayings fall on that list of things you
great
love?
Great sayings, yeah. Shroomfest this year. There's an international mushroom festival.
Oh, my God.
What's Shroomfest?
Shroomfest is an international mushroom festival happening all over the world.
Or the great vegetable that nobody likes on their salad.
So people all over the world take mushrooms.
Wow.
Oh, my
God. Same time. Yeah, on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Who's the governing body behind this?
Please tell me it's taking place at Disneyland.
It will be taking place at Disneyland.
Are you fucking kidding
me? It takes place everywhere, wherever you are and mushrooms
are. Oh, okay, so it's not...
It takes place.
I was thinking it was one designated, like, tent.
It's more like St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay, so
how does that become a day? Does some fucking guy?
It's a 3-day weekend because shroom people are all about responsible drug use. So if you got a big wedding on Saturday, wait till Sunday or Monday.
hilarious.
If you got a job interview on Monday, take them Saturday. All right, so you just need to recoup.
You do need time to recoup. I've been mushroom twice.
A day in between something major.
Yeah, you definitely do.
This is good.
I'm going to tell you one of my mushroom stories.
Well, hold on. June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th this year. 2013. Okay, go ahead.
It's Mushroom Fest?
It's Shroom Fest, yes.
But back to the show, though. So you said the first show you did.
Oh, so I was talking to Eric Abrams, who used to book the improv.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about, I was telling him that, and he was telling me about going on mushrooms and going bike riding to the Coachella concerts.
Oh,
like having a bike, and the guy could tell he was on stuff, and he's like, no, you can't leave your bike here. You got to do it there unless you, like, give me money. And the guy was like, I don't have any money. He was like, give me some of what you're on. And Eric was like, oh, and he got freaked out and drove on. And I was like, dude, all these people have cool mushroom stories.
Yeah.
Like, can we just do a show in the lab just for the art of it? Just do a show where everyone just tells mushroom stories.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool. And I know you don't have that lab booked every night. It was early on when they made the lab.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, yeah, we can do that.
The lab is the side room to the Hollywood Improv.
Yeah.
That's like,
it's gone now,
maybe,
though, right?
Yeah. Well,
it's not going to be the same.
They're doing some reconstruction there, but it held like 90 people max.
You're right. Max. No, it was like 50.
Yeah.
And reconstruction is the right way to put it because it's going to look way worse.
Mm-hmm.
Just like those women who get that surgery.
I'll be arrested
on
that.
Different, but worse.
Yeah. I asked you to give me veneers. You gave me a dick. And I'm a woman that talks like this. I'm already not doing well. I sound
I can really, a dude. I could really use those veneers.
With hairy legs. Yeah. I could use those veneers. All right. So
he wanted to do, instead of just mushrooms, he wanted to do all psychedelic drugs. And I was like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And so Dylan Brody told a story about peyote. And Marin came. And he did, a mushroom story.
Mm-hmm. He had a nice little drug run, didn't he?
Got laced. Yeah. He's sober.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz told one about doing some stuff and going to like see, I think the Grateful Dead. I think there were a couple of Grateful Dead stories.
Oh my God.
That's good. That's always good. I've never done mushrooms. I've never
really?
Done it.
And dude, why not?
Because I'm like.
Obviously, take a half dose to start.
Yes.
No, I mean, not even joking. Like you want to make sure it doesn't.
Well, no, because the first time I ever did edibles, I made the mistake of like. Eating it, nothing happened. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take another thing. And then literally it got to the point
mistake.
Where I would close my eyes, and I was in my own house. I would close my eyes. I would still be able to see everything perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, and I'd be walking around my house, and I could hear my friend going, your eyes are closed. How are you not running into anything?
You could sense it all.
So that's how fucking powerful.
Dude, the edibles thing, and for me, the edibles is always – that's the problem. You just eat so much that then – is it the pot gets in your bloodstream quicker? Because the heart attack thing is always like
– Oh, here's what you got to know.
Feeling like your heart's going to burst out of your chest.
Here's what you got to know. That nothing bad will happen to you on a pop. So anything your mind is saying like, you're going to die, you're going to overdose, your heart might pop. Just say, but remember when I was sober, I said that it will never cause physical damage to you.
Easier said than done, man.
Wow. And so this is just the drug talking.
I was at Disneyland freaking out, right?
On a pot cookie?
Yes, dude. Like three pot cookies. And I literally, walk up.
That'd be a great place to go on mushrooms.
Dude, I spent like $1,000 on frozen bananas. And I was just like, because I thought at one point if I ate like 20, I was going to fucking calm down. Because, you know, you trick yourself
frozen
into
bananas,
certain
Frozen
logic.
Bananas will do it.
Yeah.
Out of all the food there, you could have gone churro.
At one point.
Gone chicken
and
sandwich.
The lady telling him, she was like, this guy's so high.
you just walk up, I'll take 20 frozen bananas.
Yeah. Dude, I went up to who was it, Winnie the Pooh or Captain Hook? I went up to one of those guys and I was like, because I was just freaking out, and I was like, hey man, where's your first aid? Because I was a theme park character. I played Wolverine over here at Universal, so I'm like, I know there's not a person in there, or not a real, it's not really Captain Hook, so let me just try to find out where I am, because I couldn't, there was no like employees walking around. So I go, hey man, I'm fucking freaking out. Where's the first aid thing? And Winnie the Pooh or whatever just gives me one of those big Disney like with the big open arms, like, I don't know. And I was like, hey man, break the fourth wall. My heart's about to
first
pop out of my chest.
Aid.
Yeah, you'd think when they say first aid, you'd be like, okay, this guy is real. You should do something. And
then he kind of did, like, still in character, like, big gestures, like, follow me. Like, follow me. And then he pointed over there. And I didn't know where he was pointing.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah.
Hey, let's see if it works like this. Winnie, he's a poo.
That fucking bear.
Bear. That works. So if I were to do mushrooms, Ari, do you have any tips for me?
I'm all about dosing people properly.
Okay.
That's what I'm all about.
Do it with
responsible
friends,
drug use.
Based off my two experiences, I know you got to be with a group of people you're comfortable with.
So that first time is really kind of like, because you don't really know how it's going to go. It's like when you're a kid, like, you know, when you see Disney World, it seems so big because you have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, right.
So that first trip will be, but I'm worried. What's your alcohol tolerance?
Not two beer bread.
Yeah, two beer bread.
Is it like half of what?
I drink two beers, I'm drunk.
Okay. I get a buzz off two beers. If I drink four, I'm drunk.
Two, I'm shit-faced. Okay. So, yes.
Well, then maybe take like a gram of dried mushrooms.
Okay.
And put it in a sandwich.
And do it either with a really good friend,
mm-hmm.
and he's doing it too, and let him take 2 grams.
Okay.
If it's a, you know.
So it'd be in a safe environment?
Yeah. Empty stomach. If you want to do them around your apartment, that's totally cool. If mm-hmm. you want to do them out in the woods somewhere, that's totally cool. Some people don't like to be around people. I don't mind because nobody knows you're on mushrooms. It'll be
really?
Fine to walk around.
Except for
knows.
The paintings that are looking at you.
No, they don't. It's not like that. They'll just all swim. Like, you'll be looking at these sound barriers, and it'll start, like, moving. Like, it'll look like it's, you know, like a marquee moving up and down.
Yo, my buddy had a painting of, like, those, like, cartoony jazz-type lounge guys, uh-huh. and one of them's pouring a martini into, like, a glass.
Yeah.
And to me, the martini was pouring right onto the floor. I started cleaning where I thought the martini was. I was, like, wiping it up.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy's like, yo, what are you doing, man? I was like, well, he's pouring the drink on your floor.
You're like, I'm being very helpful right now.
Yeah, why are you fucking attacking me while I'm freaking out?
Stuff like this, like an oak design, that would all swim and stuff. That's hilarious.
A lot of swimming.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you'll be fine. You'll just laugh a lot.
You'll laugh a lot. You'll cry.
Carboni,
I cry.
My friend Pete Carboni said he was at, he was doing it in Vegas at a casino.
Okay.
With Moses Robinson and a couple other old comics. And
Jew, right? Moses Robinson?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he said Moses was looking at he came upon him, and Moses was looking at a video poker machine and just laughing. And Pete came up and was like, what are you laughing about? And Moses just pointed at the video poker machine, and Carboni turned his head to, like, follow his finger. And then just started laughing. I'm like, just started, like,
now
cracking
up. Now we know.
Up.
There's two queens.
Yeah, you'll probably have a great laughing time.
It catches you off guard. Yeah, when I did it at Will Rogers State Park.
Yeah.
You know where that is?
Like down Sunset.
We walked down to, like, this
That's
creek
cool
area.
Place.
It was awesome. We walked down to this creek. Later, we find out there were signs right past where we walked that said, don't go past this area. Lyme disease and ticks all over the place. Mountain lion posters.
Really?
Anyway.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly
we're
what
down there.
Surrounded by mushrooms.
We find this spot. We find this spot. We're all sitting there, and all of a sudden, just all off in our own worlds and listening to music, and I pulled out gummy worms at one point.
Yeah.
Which fucking we're swimming in the bag, and everyone's eating them and just fucking, you know, having a great time. All of a sudden, I'm sitting closest to where there's, like, a little roundabout, and these two people start walking towards us. And I'm like, guys, because we've been by ourselves for, like, 4 hours. I'm like, there's fucking people coming. So my buddy's like, you got to say something to them. One of them comes around the corner, and I go, hey, what's going on? Did you guys need to fuck? Like, I'm like, I'm going to have to be the one to welcome these people to our area. So I go, like, did you guys? And then I just start laughing, and everybody starts laughing. And the guy and his wife, they're like, you guys are on some fucked up shit. And then she goes, well, you're in luck, because there's a really cool fence that we just saw right up the hill. And one of our buddies like, a fence? He's like, what the fuck? He's like, you guys more fucked up than we are? And he's like, hey, it's a piece of history, man. He's like, we thought you'd like to go see some cool shit, because you're on some fucking crazy drugs. And we all just keep laughing at them. And then one of my buddies goes, oh, offense, holy shit. The guy goes, fuck you guys, man, and just storms off.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like,
so this is the kind of stuff I have to look forward to.
We were laughing, so, like, it wasn't threatening because we were just in such a good mood.
Maybe I'll do them after April Foolishness, because I have that hotel room at the Sheraton.
I'll just do them there.
Yeah,
or do them.
Oh, I've done them here. I've done them at Universal.
Oh, really?
Because all the big signs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I went to see Alice in Wonderland here.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's what you should know, though. I wrote a primer for this, for mushrooms.
Nice.
If you just look for Ari Shaffir and mushrooms, it should come up.
Okay.
But it's just everything you need to know. So if no matter how, if it's going, the worst case scenario is you have a bad trip.
Okay.
And all that means is you'll have a bad 5 or 6 hours. There'll be no lasting damage. Like, this will end at midnight if you took them at 5 or 6.
Okay.
Should it be outside or inside?
Go wherever you want. People like different things. I've done them around people, like a Universal, and I've also done them, like, out in the woods.
Don't drive.
Don't drive.
No, not early on.
Some people do.
Didn't Dan Madonia, I heard, like, end up going out, like, buck naked in the street and getting arrested?
To find Benji. But Benji had left, like, 2 hours ago. He's like, you know what? I'm going to find this guy. And he ran out. And he was like, he's gone.
And he was naked. Why
somewhere
naked?
Else in the city. I don't, on fucking Fountain. Like, Fountain in Fairfax at noon. He got arrested within 7 minutes. It was like, you can't be naked there.
Yeah, you can't be naked there.
Those are white people. They don't allow that shit. And so it just, and if you start having bad thoughts,
yep.
just also have in your mind to tell yourself, like, this is just a drug. Let's just mushrooms. Calm down and be like, it's just overpowering me. And you can actually ask the mushrooms, be like, hey, I need you to take it down a notch.
Wow.
And that really works.
Really?
Like, hey, mushrooms, I need you to take this back a little bit because I'm starting to get a little scared.
It's all mental, isn't it?
And I want to just enjoy this.
Wow.
Because you're hallucinating.
And they'll respond to you. It works on that kind of level.
Whoa, what?
I don't think it's like you're talking to the gods or anything, but it has that effect. It's not just me. Multiple people have said that.
Now, do you feel like, obviously someone experienced, so when you hear people like the first time being like, I talked to God, man. I mean, it was a tree, but he looked like God.
Yeah.
Are you like, all right, you're...
That's your synapses firing weird. That's all it is.
Is that the person making a bigger deal of it or thinking they hallucinated something they didn't? Or do you think people are actually really having those experiences?
It's like, no, it's like a mirage. It's like you see it, you feel some of the thing. On Salvia, a lot of people see their childhood homes or different things from their childhood.
Oh, my God.
Or the color yellow is in a lot of people's, like, that's just what it does to you. It also makes you lose equilibrium.
Yeah.
Everyone the same. Aspirin cures headaches. Doesn't mean it's God. It's just like this drug has this effect.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, man. If we do, we'll have to do a podcast the very next day.
Or during.
You should do that.
Or during.
The next day. Go on the next day. Don't worry about being on because you're going to want to wander off.
Yo, Brad, I'll do it with you. I haven't done it in probably 7 years.
7 years? All right. Well, that'll just be another story in the Chronicles of Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Yeah, you gotta have it in there because, hey, man, like, there's some, like, I'm not saying you need to bungee jump or skydive, but I'd say shrooms is an experience that's not going to, it's not going to kill you. So
no, it's not.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you've.
It's just going to open your eyes.
Yeah,
to some
shit. Take them on an empty stomach.
Uh-huh.
Read that thing. Read that. Okay. It's about a page.
Well, Ari, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for priming me for...
And let me know after you did them, too. I want to know what your experience was.
Yeah, and thank you for priming me for maybe one of the best or worst decisions of my life.
They had this John Hopkins study.
It's up to you.
People have said it is a common experience that it is one of the three most spiritual moments of their lives.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll definitely agree with that.
But even if it's not that, it's still great laughs. Even if you don't get that, don't be disappointed if it was just like a great time.
No, I was going through a breakup at the time, and I definitely like just fucking had a lot of clarity. And I was looking up at the sky, and like the sun hit like a leaf a certain way that made me go, you know what? I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it gives you this understanding of all things.
Yeah. Oh, sure, right after that, I looked down, and hair was growing out of my hand really fast because I thought I was turning into Wolfman. But, you know, and the only way for me – and here was my reasoning. Ready? Every time I looked at my hand, the hair would grow faster, and I was like, I'm morphing into Wolfman. So I had to look away to make it stop. And my reasoning was I can't morph into Wolfman because I don't have to fight crime. And I can't fight crime because I'm tripping with my friends.
Oh, we can't fight crime right
and
now.
I can't leave my friends because we came together as a group and I drove. And I can't just leave and be like, hey, I'll be back. And then I was like, what am I going to tell them when I go fight crime? I can't let them know that I'm doing this.
Willie Hunter had. We went to Malibu Creek State Park last time, and he had a bad. It was his 26th birthday, and he thought he was with drug addicts doing drugs, and he just felt bad about it.
Wow.
And he wandered off and hitchhiked to a McDonald's, and then Matt Edgar was calling him, and Willie was like, "Listen, man, I think it's time we go our separate ways. Our paths crossed, and
as
now
friends?
They're not anymore." Yeah, that night, but he was like, overall, I'll see you around, and. He laughs about it now. It's like the worst case scenario. Yeah. It's like, what was I on?
Yeah.
And everyone has fun. Like, it was hilarious. Really no bad lasting.
Well, you've convinced me, Ari. Where can people find your special at again?
Chill.com.
And it's called
It's called Passive Aggressive.
Yeah, why going on around like that? Is it the whole...
Because Comedy Central and those companies never, ever called me. And also, I don't really like their aesthetic, and I don't like commercials in the middle of your stand-up, so it's like...
We're also kind of heading that way.
We're heading that way.
Yeah, just everyone...
What Louis did is, I mean...
I made a 72-minute special. There was no, like, it has to be 44 or 59. Dude. It was like, it'll be when it's done.
Commercials suck, too, man. It's like, it really breaks the flow. It's like, can you imagine doing a set at the Comedy Store and then being like, I'll be right back, and just walking
off
stage?
Somebody pointed that out. This is what stand-up is. Like, even if you tape a special, you have a warm-up guy, maybe an opener, and then you tape for an hour. Or even in, like, if you're doing six comics, you have an MC, and then you keep bringing people up.
You
don't say, that guy was great. Everybody, we'll be back in 3 minutes for the next comics. Like, what are you talking about?
Let's just go.
The show's going. Build the momentum.
Perfect.
Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the way it looked. I was really glad they should give all the comics control. Let's shoot the way they want.
Well, a lot of them are, right? I mean, a lot of people
more and more. Dave Attell should shoot something in a bar.
I know.
That's the right thing for him.
I know.
Perfect.
Let me ask you this. We didn't get to this real quick. I know we're trying to get out of here, but when you first got out here and you started doing stand-up, who were, like, the people that you were, like, looking up to? Or that you became friends with and kind of really got you going?
I never had cable, so I didn't know any of the bigger guys. I just sort of discovered as I was, whatever was on late night TV or like Carson or whatever.
So did you know only like a handful?
Only knew who I saw when I got here.
Oh,
so
shit.
Bob Oshak, Freddie Soto, Don Barris, Paul Mooney, Joe Rogan, Ralphie, May.
Paul Mooney, man.
And you just just from Paul seeing them Mooney. On stage?
Yeah,
being
I could see a lot of people, since the store was such a like a place for people, I could see a lot of people doing a certain thing better than anyone else I see doing it.
Right.
Like Oshak was great at coming with really well thought out bits first
such
time.
A great joke writer.
Yeah, Don Barris had this late night vibe where he could say horrible things to old ladies. He'd be like, "Oh, you little slut, you love getting pounded, don't you, Grandma?" And she'd be laughing, and her grandchildren be, and be fine. I'd be like, and those words alone do not equal that kind of response.
He just has that ability to be like, we're all having fun.
Did somebody tell you the Comedy Store was a place to go?
No, and I never even heard of it. I drove looking for the Laugh Factory. On the way I passed, I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll apply to this place too."
And you just jumped right in. I mean, you just really started hanging out, and you were like, "I'm going to be here."
Yeah, trained me on the phones.
There you go.
And I just, you got a job and a family and instantly.
Perfect. And now your name's on the wall. You've been a regular for a while. And if you have the opportunity to see Ari Shaffir on the road, I highly advise all of our listeners to do that. Pick up his special. Follow you on Twitter. Where?
At Ari Shaffir.
And your website is Ari the Great?
AriTheGreat.com.
Damn right.
Dude, watch the Amazing Racist video.
Oh, yeah. Good luck. Close the door, though, because people have watched like halfway through. One of those black people come in, and then it gets really uncomfortable.
By the way, Moses Robinson, you said drop that name. And I know we were trying to figure out if there were any black Jews.
Uh-huh.
For sure, that's probably one of them.
No, I half looked it up. There was some pictures.
There you go.
I really do want to find
that guy on Duke, that tall blonde guy, Scheiser.
John Scheiser plays for Duke?
No, not him. John Shire.
He's a black Jew?
No.
With blonde hair?
Oh, no. He's just a Jew. Basketball player. Jew. Yeah. Moses Robinson would be that.
Yeah, right?
Perfect.
Because, Moses Malone could have been that, but...
Moshe Robinson.
There it is.
That's it.
Moses Robinson. I like that. Adam, where could our listeners find you?
At Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter and AdamRayTV.com for all my videos and tour dates. And got a bunch coming up in Kansas City and Denver and... In New York.
And you're coming with me to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When does this podcast come out?
Should be out later tonight.
Hours, yeah. Oh, then April 9th. Come to my Storyteller show. There's an invite on my Facebook or on my website. But come to the taping of it.
Where's that at?
It's going to be at Cheetah's.
Nice.
On Tuesday. Diaz, TJ Miller. Who else? Maren said he wants to do it now. Bobby Lee.
Awesome.
That'd be great.
Bobby's got some great stories. That's what I was getting at. Like, there's so many,
we just go different topics. So we got heartache and then different, we had sex stories.
How long do you think it takes you, though, as a comic to develop, a nice, collection of stories?
I'll tell you this. After we did it 7, 8, 9 times, I ran out of, killer stories that I already had in my, that I told at parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up starting thinking about times in my life and, funneling those the right way into stories.
Because there are so many great stories that you just don't think about.
Yeah, you don't think about it. Or you take it out and then you're like, I can make this a little better with a metaphor or two here.
Because you definitely, you have a lot of stories in your act, but are there some stuff that you're just like, that's not a joke or that wouldn't work on stage? And you tell it at parties or you end up...
Oh, yeah. There's some stuff I've done with those shows that just won't work on stage. Some I can transfer it and edit it slightly and make it work for bits.
Yeah.
And some are just better left not told on stage, I guess, right? Or do you think... But sometimes then you'll tell it to a group of people and they'll get a really great reaction.
Yeah, but not everything is a perfect one-two
right?
match.
Yeah. I rushed the stage at The Price is Right my sophomore year of college, right, during a showcase showdown.
After the guy
won. Yeah, and I got on stage and it's on TV and I rubbed the guy's head. And I sat in his Escalade. I was fucked up. I went with a group from my frat. We had one guy guaranteed to get on. He didn't get on, so I rushed the stage. It was between a big black guy named Jerome and a little old woman. And I get on there and I'm fake writing his Escalade when Barker was still hosting and Rod Roddy was still alive. He died 2 months later. And I'm shaking all the friends' hands and everything, and I've tried to tell that story a few times on stage about how it was the booze, telling me you get that voice in your head the Jameson's you should rush the stage. And I'm like, that's a good idea, Jameson voice, and all this shit, but telling the story, I couldn't find a
you should rush the stage.
Yeah, I couldn't come I couldn't figure out, and I haven't given it enough.
Maybe if you did the Jameson voice in an Irish accent. Just you should rest the stage.
That sounds
convincing as fuck.
That sounds like a suggestion from a parent. You should just do the Jameson part in an Irish voice.
Yeah. You should rest the stage. Sounds like a great move.
But I was like doing the robot behind him, and I was like, at one point I was like, and Rod Roddy died a few months later. I was like, maybe he saw how shitty my robot was and killed himself, or like, I don't know. Or like, I could take a dark turn with it, or maybe, you know.
That's what my friend just texted me. He said, do you think Ebert died because of how shitty your movie was?
Oh. Oh. Perfect. Wait, this way, real quick, I just want to say, because we haven't talked about it. You do
probably wants to get out of the last 30
no,
minutes.
No, I know.
It's
no,
like,
no,
and then, okay, but.
Yeah, but there's two, there's way too much to cover. You're going to just have to come back. But you do a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
And you still do, right?
Not the last couple of years. I've been on the road more. It's tougher to do them.
But you've done a handful.
Yeah, I've done a shitload. I've done like 50 or 60.
That's awesome.
Great way to make a living.
The one I remember you were in is you were in a Bud Light commercial where you carpeted everything in a room and including a dog.
Yeah.
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 Bud Light commercials, those pay well.
Interesting fact. Mm-hmm. I got that commercial. No offense to you at all. It's a Mencia story.
That's right.
But he was doing a Bud Light campaign for like Bud Light Latino or whatever. And they said, we saw all that stuff. We felt bad. You're not right for this. You're supposed to be a carpenter. You're like, unless you're Jesus, you're not. Like a typical carpenter. She goes, but we felt bad about that Mencia stuff, so we figured we'd give you a part.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, cool.
Hey, cool. Yeah. Well, in that case, I got to start feuding with some comics. Like, yeah, trying to get a damn ad.
You did a Subway one.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you get to meet Jared?
I did not meet Jared. I just got to be rude for a day. That was really cool.
That was a good one.
That was fun. I just got that. It's like people would come up in line, actors, and I would just like throw out lines about how that was fun.
Yeah, because those are the best ones. I mean, because you're not labeled as a spokesperson for something, right? And you actually...
When you get to represent the bad company,
right?
Then it's like, yeah, free reign.
Oh, because they want the bad company to
look
bad.
Shitty,
like,
dumb,
like,
inept.
Like, you work in a place called, like, Hamburger Place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and you're like, Burger Town. It's Burger Town. My name's Town said Rico. Claire Tideman was in it, too.
And they just knew you were a comic. You're like, hey, just shit on people.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's
so at one point, the one guy came, and then I made him take the burger. I did it my way, and then not his way. And then he went to the side, and this black guy was next. And I just go, white people. Am I right? And you can hear them all cracking up. Like, we can't use that ever.
Dude, but
like,
they love using comics for commercials for that reason. Yeah. Any really bad...
Write
get
the
out
comedy
here.
For us, please.
Any really bad horror story. I've only done one commercial. It was for Dunkin' Donuts. It only played in, like, two cities. And it was eating a breakfast. I was the foreman at a construction site. And I'd eat this breakfast panini. Yeah. And they kept bringing in new paninis for me to take a bite of and go, yeah, it's fucking good. And, you know, make that kind of like, this is delicious. And then make some notes. Piping hot, and they were already like 2 hours behind, so they were like, we gotta go. Right. Every time I would hold it, it was burning my hand, and I would just fucking like shaking. The guy's like, stop shaking the panini. I'm like, it's, and I didn't want to say it was hot, so I'm like, sorry, I got it. First commercial, I'm like, just
yeah,
suck
you think
it
you
up.
Have to please them.
Oh, yeah. Right. So they bring in a new one, and I'm like, no, let me use this one. The guy's like, we need the new cheese. It's dripping. It's melting. I'm like, onto my hands and burning my skin.
Onto my flammable hands.
But I didn't say anything, so I kept biting it, burning my mouth. Oh, and God. I wish it took me like 20 takes, swear to God, because every time I take a bite and then like nod, my mouth is like trembling, and I'm like that. It's too hot, but I can't spit it out, open mouth thing. And then I would make the notes. I'm shaking. And the director had to come over one point. He's like, dude, you're like, what, are you nervous? I'm like, dude, man, it's just really fucking hot. And finally let me use a cold panini. Anyway, any awful stories?
Wait,
I met Tommy Davidson like 5 times on a commercial. What?
No, I did a commercial for Bud Light where I played a lawn gnome. And
what?
Yeah, and like, but there were like 8 dwarves in the commercial, and we were all playing lawn gnomes. And then the whole gag is that someone walks into a dinner party, goes, "Hey, man, I love your lawn gnomes outside." And he goes, "I don't have any lawn gnomes." And then we all come to life, and like steal the Bud Light.
I remember that one.
It's actually funny.
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah,
did that play.
Yeah, yeah, it played. But the freakiest part about it is that two of the dwarves that were acting in that commercial
turned into lawn gnomes.
Are gay. And we caught them like
lawn gnome butt fucking,
not fucking, but like making out with like the beards on and everything and like the hats, and we just started laughing.
Yo, wow. That should have just been, it should have just been lawn gnomes, two gay lawn gnomes with beards making out for a minute and a half, and then just Bud Light appears across the screen.
Bud Light, here we go.
Here we go. Wait, so any horror stories or no? Just all fun.
I mean, mostly fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were, but it was fine. Just being too cold or something. I didn't realize you could tell them, like, hey, this is burning my hand. I'm not doing it. It's just like a job site.
Right.
So it's some director who's not really responsible for you, your safety, just saying, do it anyway.
Yeah.
And you go, no, it's not safe.
Yeah. I should have. Like, I didn't have the wherewithal. I was like, we're behind on time. I'm in
it's
my head.
It's not
I'm
my
like,
fault that they're behind on time.
Yeah. But in my head, I'm like, it's Dunkin' Donuts. This is a big deal.
No.
I hopefully am going to get free coffee or some jelly munchkins out of this, which is
that's why you need a union,
pastries.
Because there's no way anyone would ever fight for themselves.
Right. Oh, my God. Ari, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, man, this is fun.
And looking forward to Foolishness, bro.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
2 days, right here.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a blast. I mean,
maybe do them in the fucking hotel. Can you run around here late at night?
Yeah.
Dude, that's...
Yo, I used to run around the back lot when I worked here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And Ray's going to be here, so he could...
Dude, that's the place. You guys
all right.
should do them there.
If I survive my mushroom
trip... I'll pull
trip,
a Willie Hunter and
might hitchhike.
I might hitchhike to a
show.
Fucking Quiznos. Right. Yeah, you will.
Oh, well, this is going to be fun.
If anything crazy bad happens, just say abort. We'll do this in a week or two. But assuming it'll all be fine, then fucking go for it.
Our next podcast will be very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. For Ari Shaffir, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Thanks for listening to About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Buck Starr here, Greg Seitz, whatever my name is. Greg Buck Starr Seitz, CEO of GoCast Network.
And I'm Gary Garver, formerly of... Oh, I don't even want to mention that asshole's name. From the GoCast Network, program director of the GoCast Network.
Weren't you on Journey?
Yeah, that was it. Sammy Hagar, they say.
Sammy Hagar. And you know what? We got some sick new technology. You can check us out with Viddy.
What the hell's Viddy, Greg? I have no idea what that is.
Viddy is Instagram, Twitter combined for a great 15-second video experience where you'll see awesome clips and fun stuff.
Wow, I can't wait to check that out. Where do we go?
Viddy.com? I think so.
Okay, cool.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', hit knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item, and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network? Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link. Click it on, click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
Hey, this is Gary Busey. Not sure where I am right now, but I know that I'm listening to the interview with Fraser Smith. On the GoCast Network.
What's up, guys? This is Danny Trejo, and I want to tell you about the best restaurant in Southern California, The Second Floor in Huntington Beach. The Second Floor is a one-of-a-kind tattoo and cutting-edge art bar. The food is amazing. Try our Rockin' Nachos, the Sliders, or the Monster Colossal Burgers. Or my favorite, the Trejo's Taco. Second Floor. I'll see you there.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.